This is Digital Dave.
And I'm Fast Eddie.
And this is EAA Radio. And we're joined today by Christina Bowman-Jones. Lovely Christina Bowman-Jones, that is. And her daughter, Kimmy. Or mm-hmm. Do you go by Kimberly?
Kimmy.
Okay. And also?
Ricky.
Okay, Ricky. We're going to have you speak up.
Yeah.
Okay.
Anyway, you are obviously Gordon Bowman-Jones' wife. And we're here to talk about Gordon, about what a great guy he was, what a fantastic air show announcer he was. I think of all the air show announcers out there, he's probably the best known to the general public because he did so many other things.
Yes, absolutely. He loved the air show industry and he constantly nurtured it. And that's what I'm here for. I'm going to continue his legacy.
Well, that's quite a job. You're going to have to grow a couple feet.
You won't look good with the beard either. Trust me on this.
It's okay, yeah. She's 6 foot tall in her head. So
there you go. And she thought this was going to be a serious interview.
No. Well, parts of it anyway.
It's about Gordon. It can't be serious.
Yes.
There you go. There
serious.
You go.
That was the one thing that always impressed me about Gordon was his professionalism right up to the point where he turned the microphone off. And then he was a card-carrying character. The man was just an incredible wit.
Well, that's why we stayed together for a long time. He made me laugh all the time.
That's not easy. That's not easy to make someone laugh.
Especially for a long period of time.
Yeah, they have to breathe somewhere in there. I worked with him at Willow Grove, and I'm not sure if it was the last show or not, but I'll never forget. It rained all 3 days. No airplanes moved. So he was the show. And I can remember sitting out there under a tarp trying to run the board in the rain, and we were interviewing anything that moved and trying to just keep people entertained. And that was an amazing job.
I've seen him do the Macarena.
Is there video of this?
How much?
Well, you bring up video. There's a great piece of video that I have to find at the ICAST convention, one of them many years ago. We had a balloon animal guy who was making a balloon parachutist. And here comes Gordon up. Now, I've got the camera rolling. And Gordon rolls up and he says, "Now, if I could only do that with condoms," I almost dropped the camera.
Oh my goodness.
It was
That's
hysterical.
So Gordon.
And then he did.
Yes. And actually, that comes from the Oklahoma Air Show, where they actually had a contest. And, of course, Gordon won every year. And the trick was to put a condom over your head, under your nose, and breathe in from your mouth, exhale from your nose, and make the condom pop.
Wow. Somehow I don't think that made it to his resume.
I don't think they hired him specifically for that.
Well, but. You know, he was like a ringer. I mean, he's full of hot air, right?
Right.
Being an announcer. So he had an
unfair
advantage.
No, he was very
proud
of that, actually.
That doesn't surprise me. You know, the other things that I remember about Gordon was watching the Discovery Channel or the History Channel, and whose mug do I see talking about this or that or something else was Gordy.
Yes.
He would get on there in his usual very distinguished Australian voice.
Oh, that rich voice.
And I just can't imagine what the outtakes were like. They had to have been hysterical.
There were no outtakes with him. I don't know. As his daughter, it was really different seeing him behind the scenes because he was, I don't think anybody realized how improvised he always was. He never really had a script. I would look at his notes and there would either be no notes or there would be one word and then he would just go off of that. And he could really, we always joked at home that he was a talking head because it literally was what he, you know, he was always just, he could talk about anything and everything.
At the dining table.
Never a serious conversation.
Right. Kimmy bantered with him quite a bit. They imitated accents. In fact, he actually grew up in Australia, but he was born in England, in Lancashire.
Okay, so, that I did not know.
Yeah, so yes. His accent was a little bit in between.
It was a very rich accent,
right.
Distinctive mm-hmm. accent.
It was very different. Yeah.
He didn't move to Australia until he was 9. They were considered Pommies. They traveled there, you know, all the prisoners. No.
yeah, okay.
And then he was in the U.S. for 45 years. So.
Yeah. Now, wasn't he an electrical engineer by trade?
Mm-hmm. Yes, energy and electrical engineer by trade.
Right, and then how did he land an air show announcing? That's, interesting.
Well, it's actually going to be in his book, which we should get out sometime the middle of next year. And one of the segments of the book is how he got into the air show industry. And basically, it was at the Watsonville Air Show.
I actually went there once in the early 80s.
Yeah, this was in the 70s, I think 74, 73, 74. And he was working with Eddie Andrini. They had both the same steerman, one number from each other. They had purchased it at the same time. And what had happened was Eddie said, can you watch what I'm doing? And we'll come up with something for you to narrate. So that's what they did. And for the first show that he did it at Watsonville, after he did that, he got five people come up and say, can you do me too? Can you do me too? And so he started doing air shows. And when he got up to 10, one year he said, this is costing me a lot of money. Going to air shows, announcing for people, I have to get a hotel, I have to get a, you know, gas money and everything. So one year he actually wrote everybody and said, I need you to get me a hotel, a car, or pay me to go and do this air show. And everybody laughed at him.
Wow. He said,
nobody gets paid. Well, in the 70s, nobody gets paid to announce air shows. So he says, it's okay then. I'm just going to go and I'm going to enjoy myself and I'm going to watch the air show. It's all right. Everybody paid him.
Smart man.
Good so move.
That's how he got started. And
he never looked back.
Nope. He was he did over 3,000 air shows by the time he passed away.
My goodness.
Yeah. 3,000 day shows. So
now, did you ever look at him? Like, at some point he had to quit his day job.
Yes, he did.
And that must have been a turning point.
Yeah, I we were together 19 years, and he already had quit his day job.
Okay, so then. You met him after that.
I met him after that, yes. And actually, he started working with me because I'm in the insurance industry. He went back into it 7 years ago as well. So he liked to do both.
Oh, but, yeah. If you're a creative mind and you miss that, you don't want to give that up.
Yes. So he started, we have a company, an insurance agency, and he started with me doing that with Energy Engineer as well.
That's very cool.
How did you meet Gordon?
Uh-oh.
Come on, you knew we were going to ask this one.
Something about the exploding condom?
No, actually, he was arguing with me the first time I met him because I was at a cafe in San Francisco, and I was actually studying for an exam, an insurance exam, and I was also killing time because I had a date that night.
Ah.
But he made me completely forget about my date because said something. Oh, I needed some cream for my tea. And anybody who's British knows you never put cream in your tea, but I didn't know. So he said, ghastly, you can't do that. My mother would roll over in her grave if you put cream in your tea. So he proceeded to tell me you're either a mill or a miff, not a sill or a sif. And I looked at him going, who are you?
Yeah, right. What is this nutball?
And for some reason, he ended up sitting in front of me instead of the side of me, and he started lecturing me on how you drink tea.
And you sat there and listened.
It was humorous.
Knowing Gordy, yep, it sure had to be.
And then he asked me for a drink, and then he asked me to dinner.
Oh, and, boy.
Yeah.
And it snowballed
and then,
from there.
Well, I missed my date. Completely forgot that I had a date that night.
Wow.
Yeah. I found out when I got home, and my answering machine was...
on fire.
Where are you? Are you okay?
Wonder where that guy is now.
I don't have any
idea.
I
was just thinking the same thing.
One thing for sure, he's not here.
That's right. The worst part is she had to give up cream in her tea.
Yeah.
Oh, the horror of it all. It was worth it, though, wasn't it?
It was. It
Did
was.
He eventually come around and allow you to put cream in your tea?
No, never.
Oh, jeez.
Wow. That's what you do for love.
That's
right.
A
sacrifice.
Give up the cream for love.
And he also wouldn't let me cut my hair. So
you used to have shorter hair?
I had it shoulder length, and he was adamant he didn't want me to cut my hair.
Okay.
He threatened my hairdresser.
Wow.
Oh, my God. You know, and I can hear him doing that in his voice, too.
His voice would command respect regardless of what he was talking about.
And then there were the times when the microphone was off and he'd come off with something really off the wall and you just couldn't help but laugh.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, that was part of the tribute that we did for him. And when we, when I got on the announcer stand, I was the last one to speak. And I had expressed that Gordon and I were always together. Nobody ever saw us if we weren't together. And we didn't keep any secrets from each other, except for the 2 months prior to the accident. I expressed that I had to make a confession that I cheated on him. And then I paused for a long time, and then I said, on his favorite game show, Jeopardy.
You got him.
Well, what it was that he always won the final Jeopardy answer, and he was really annoying us that he knew all this knowledge. So my girlfriend in New York started texting me the answer 2 hours.
Oh, 3 hours ahead.
3 hours ahead.
Wow, that's subterfuge. Yes. Yeah.
So I would come out with, John Kemp. And he would say, I think you're right. The Iron Lady. You might just get that right. And he didn't know. So, you know, when he was in the hospital and he came to for a little bit, I told him, and he actually cracked a big smile. So I knew, you know.
You got him.
Yes.
He appreciated the joke.
He'd been had.
Yeah. I doubt anybody had him very often.
Oh, yeah. But when we did, it was so good.
It was so good.
It was so worth it.
It was so good.
But it was hard to accomplish. You had to plan ahead, I'm sure.
It was definitely a plotting situation.
Have you guys ever heard the Don Blue blooper?
No.
No.
Because he used to play it. In fact, I probably will send it to you because you'd probably want to play it at some air shows.
Okay.
What it was Don Blue is a personality in San Francisco, and he actually does bloopers, basically prank phone calls.
Oh, okay.
And he got Gordon really bad during Fleet Week. I believe it was 1998, and Willie Brown was still the mayor. Mm-hmm. We had someone call him and state that they need a 9-year-old to fly with the Blue Angels. And they had to have him fly with the Blue Angels.
Oh, my.
And as the director of Fleet Week, he was to demand the Blue Angels to fly this kid on one of the F-18s. And Gordon was actually very reserved and told him it will never happen. And he says, it has to happen. You're not listening to me. It has to happen. And it ended up with him being bleeped several times.
Gordon being bleeped. Oh, my. Something about cursing with a rich accent just makes it so wonderful.
It makes it amazing. You can say anything with an accent.
Yep.
It sounds great.
Yep.
Yes. The funny thing was they did it off the cuff at 4 a.m. in the morning after he did a radio broadcast at 4 in the morning. And they weren't able to tell him who played the prank. So I arrived at the Franciscan in Fisherman's Wharf for the Fleet Week celebration. And he looks at me and he says, did you hear what happened to me today? I've asked every Blue Angel and I can't find out who did it to me. And then one of the Blue Angels came up and he said, it's got to be someone close to you, Gordon. And then he looked straight at me and he said, no.
And you just smiled knowingly. Well, we thank you for coming in. We've gone way over our allotment of time, but that's okay.
Again.
Gordon is so worth it. We could tell a million stories about the man. Mm-hmm. And I only worked with him three times max.
I worked with him
a couple times here, a couple times at Willow Grove.
Worked with him mostly at Willow Grove, but there were a couple of occasions I bumped into him. He was always...
Was he upset?
No, he was very nice. A lot of fun to be around.
Party.
He was a fun guy.
Yes, yeah. He was.
Yeah. He was.
Definitely one of the good guys.
Okay, thanks again for joining us. This is Digital Dave.
I'm Fast Eddie. This is EAA Radio.